hear the birds chirping and see the sunshine. And I know you guys have had an awful winter. We in Louisville, we're always about 10 degrees warmer, but we've had our harsh temperatures, and I will be so glad to see spring come. I am not a winter person. We lived in Chicago for about 15 years, and I was glad to move to a warmer climate after that, because there's nothing like waiting till May to finally see the flowers come up and emerge, and then everybody rushes to get it done, and then it's gone quickly. But this kind of winter makes us appreciate the life of spring, doesn't it? And everybody perks up, and life begins all around us. I'm an artist, and I just recently, being an empty nester, not that I was ready to see my daughter go, because we're very close, but I was ready to launch out then after having raised her and so forth to get back to my artwork. So that's been fun too. And so just set up a new art studio, and I have about 11 private students, and that pays the rent, and then I can go in the back and hopefully paint in that time. So anyway, it's just a new season of life, and I'm excited about that. And I know you all know how those come and go and change. And what I'm going to be sharing with you this morning, though, is something that is definitely consistent in the Christian life, and that's experiencing God's presence. Now, I know that last night Don shared about thirsting for God. I just recently shared that Thursday night with the seminary wives, because we're going through the 10 Questions book, applying it to a pastor's wife, and it's a great book to do that with. Actually, 10 Questions alongside Spiritual Disciplines is one of my favorite, because it does kind of home in on our hearts and makes it more personal, and actually challenges us in ways that Spiritual Disciplines does not. But after I heard he was doing Thirsting for God, I thought, well, what can I share Saturday morning? And so I thought I would just kind of glean from this, and then I'm going to talk about praying through Scripture. And I think last night Don just kind of briefly mentioned praying through Scripture. So I'm not going to be able to get into that as deeply as I would like, but I just want to give you a little bit more about praying through Scripture that hopefully will change your prayer life if you're not doing that sort of type of prayer already. Some of you might be, and you might be familiar with it. And I know it's morning, and I know that we still kind of have the cobwebs in our head, and I had to have my coffee this morning, otherwise I don't function. And so I'm going to try to make this as clear as possible. So let's begin with prayer, as we're talking about God's presence and prayer, and then we'll jump in. Okay, let's pray. Father, I thank you for each woman here, and we are all at a different place in our life, different circumstances that affect our lives, the good and the bad, the struggles and the joy, and you bring them all about for one purpose, and that is to conform us to the image of your Son. And Lord, I ask you now this morning, as we think about spending time in your presence and sensing your presence, that we will truly become attuned to your voice, to discerning your voice in our lives, and how you want to speak to us, how you want to communicate with us through your word, through prayer, through meditating on Scripture. And this is such a privilege. It's such a joy to be able to come before you in such an intimate way. So Lord, be with us now. Help me to communicate these things to these ladies, and may we fellowship together in a fresh way. Thank you for the spring, the hope of spring around the corner, and we delight in your creation. And we pray these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. All right. Put this behind here. Go to my notes here. Well, we're talking about asking the question, are we sensitive to God's presence? Don talked about, are we thirsting for God? Do we have that thirst, that desire for the things of God like we should be as believers? And I would ask you, what has been your most recent awareness of the presence of God? Where have you been aware of the Holy One, sensing that God is with you? That can come in many, many forms, right? It might come through our quiet time, of course. Hopefully we would sense God's presence there as we come to Him in the quiet and spend time in His Word praying and so forth. You experienced His presence and were aware that He was there in congregational worship. That happens very often. My most recent awareness has been... we go to Emmanuel Baptist Church in Louisville. It's an inner city church. And our pastor is an amazing expositor. But not only an amazing expositor, but he's just an anointed man. And I was sharing with one of my best friends who sits with me often in this older building together. We were sitting there, and as he brought forth the truth, I looked over at her and she looked over at me, and we both had tears just running down our face because the truth that he was sharing was so amazing that we were just both affected and we were just still before God, and it was just an incredible encounter with the Lord. And she said, "Were you feeling the same thing I was?" And I said, "Yeah." And then we realized that many, many others were just taken by those moments of hearing the truth preached. God gives us those moments that perhaps you're walking in an area that's beautiful. If you like snow, maybe you were walking in the snow and reflecting on the beauty of the glistening trees and creation, and you just sensed that God was with you, and it was overwhelming. And let me say that when I'm talking about God being present with us, I'm not talking about a mystical experience where we see Him in everything. We're not talking about pantheism where God is a tree or something like that. But you know what I'm talking about. He is with us. And for the Christian, it shouldn't be just an occasional experience. We should be aware of His presence at the grocery store, pumping gas, doing the daily tasks at home. I know there's a little book called, written by a 12th century little monk, and it's very sweet. It's called The Practice of the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence. And he talks about the fact that while he was washing dishes, while he was doing the mundane tasks of life, he constantly reflected on God and how he was present with him in doing those boring, mundane tasks. And that's can be true for us. But we recognize that God is here. And as we grow closer to the Lord, of course, we should experience His presence more. You know, though it can be disturbing to think about how many Christians there are, professing Christians, there are in the world that say that they maybe sense God's presence on occasion, maybe once or twice in life. And the percentage, sadly, is a lot or great. And even non-Christians will say that they had what they thought was a sense that God was with them. And hopefully, as a result of that, of course, they came to Christ. But why are Christians dull to God's company? What will be the result of that? Well, the result of that will be that they will think less about God and His Word and His will for their lives. They'll have less of an awareness that God truly is everywhere, and they know that the eyes of the Lord are in every place. And as Don shared last night, very similar thought, is that unfortunately they may be tasting of the desiccating, things of the world. In other words, there's more pleasure sought and experienced in things, in dreams of life or people more than God. Not that those things in and of themselves are wrong, but they're consumed by worldliness. What happens here and now is more important than their relationship with Christ. Just to kind of briefly hit this, I don't want to bore you with too much here. Not that it's boring, but what I'm saying is that I could go into it a lot more, but I won't. But there are theological terms that talk about the presence of God. We're familiar with the omnipresence of God, that He is everywhere. There is what is called a Christological presence of God, in that He was present with Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. Thirdly, there's an indwelling presence, of course, Christ in us, the hope of glory. There's a perceptive presence that we talk about, that we see God perceived in His works, the manifestation of what He does in our lives. We might hear a sermon, hear a speaker, and we're aware that God was with that individual when they spoke, just much like I mentioned about my pastor. There's the heavenly presence, of course, God in heaven, and the eternal presence, that He will, in one way or the other, even in hell, people will sense His presence and be separated from Him, but there will be that eternal aspect of his presence. So, just kind of a definition of that. But of course, we know as believers, I don't want to take it for granted that all of us here might know, there might be someone here that does not know Christ. Of course, we will not sense God's presence unless we know Him as Lord and Savior. Until we experience Christ, as Colossians 1:27 says, in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we have to know Christ through salvation, definitely, before we can even attempt to know His presence. Now, one thing that this leads us to as we talk about God's presence in the Christian is that as we begin to know Him in a more intimate way, we have to be concerned about some current trends in evangelical spirituality towards what we call mysticism. And I talk to many, many believers. In fact, early on in my life, I began to read some writers that were more mystical. And what I mean by that, and I've, of course, gotten away from that because I realized that there was danger and reading those, and that their gospel is a different gospel. And I'm talking mainly about some of the Catholic mystics. Though their writing is lofty and inspirational, still it is not centered in truth. It is not centered in salvation as we know it. In fact, a lot of the things that they write in their experience with God is more of a work salvation, in that as they grew to know God more intimately, they kind of climbed a ladder towards salvation. And that was the goal in their mystical experience. But what I mean by a mystical experience is what is some kind called Christian mysticism. The essence of, I'll read a definition here, the essence of mysticism is the attempt to experience God unmediated. That is, without means. This is the belief that apart from any external assistance, meaning reading the Bible, basing everything on the Word of God, you enter directly into an experience of the presence of God. Have you ever heard anybody talk about, well, I just kind of, it's called centering prayer. I just kind of looked within myself to then launch myself into this experience of sensing God's presence. In other words, you empty your mind, you set everything else aside, and you seek the presence of God. And of course, for someone that's involved in Eastern mysticism, it is not the God of the Bible that they're seeking. It's within them. It's not what we would find biblically centered. Rather, what we're told to do as believers, as we're seeking the Lord and seeking His presence, we are told to seek Him through His Word. And that's vital, that the Word of God be our foundation anytime we are seeking His presence and experiencing His presence. Now, I don't want to say that experience, you know, that there's not an experience with God. We know there is. There is some feeling. There is some awe and that connection. But they're founded on His Word. So seek Him through the experiences that are founded on His Word, or seek Him through daily life in ways that are informed by His Word. In other words, as we're walking along a path, a beautiful path, and we're inspired by nature and so forth, we know that God is with us because the Bible says that He is. He says that He is the creator of all things, and we can appreciate His presence as a result of the fact that He has made all things beautiful and intoxicating as we can take all of that in. I mean, no Christian can go to the Grand Canyon or to stand on a great mountaintop or see something beautiful before us and be in awe, a sunset even, the colors that are manifested there, and not think on God and His beauty and His character. So this is important too, that everything that we imagine or we see visually or are inspired by is as a result of His character, and it contains that thought of Him and leads us to the thoughts of His Word. In these ways, God is revealed and mediated to us through the gift that He gave for that purpose, which is His Word. And that's what we mean by we as Christians have a mediation in our meditation, in our seeking His presence, not just emptying our mind and forgetting everything else, not being influenced by anything else, and looking within. We are looking to God in His Word. So, it is important that everything be mediated through truth that is revealed. I can't emphasize that enough, Because people, Christians, can be misled and taken astray through mysticism, and dangerously through Eastern mysticism. So if you get anything from what I just said, it just profoundly says that the basis of our experience with God is God revealed truth, and not our own ideas of who God should be. Have you ever heard anybody say, well, my God wouldn't do that, or my God isn't like that? I know what you think that the Bible says about that particular thing or whatever, but in my experience, this is what God is. Well, that's not biblical, is it? We base everything on biblical truth, not just how we want to make God. So God with us, that is so important. And we want to think, too, that it is not only God with us, God is present, but it is the fact that He is holy. And His holiness then causes us to revere Him, to respect Him, to see Him in His character. My thoughts, my motives, my fears, my aspirations, my emotions, my anxieties, my mental and physical condition, we realize that in His character He loves me beyond my comprehension, and I can come to Him and know Him in an intimate way as He reveals Himself through our seeking, through knowing Him, because He knows us. So as we know Him, too, we think about the fact that we're not just seeking an experience. That's very important. The experience comes as a result of seeking Him as a person, seeking Him as God, seeking Him as He is revealed in Scripture. A.W. Tozer, in The Knowledge of the Holy, says, "The practice of the presence of God consists not of projecting an imaginary object from within his own mind and then seeking," now he's talking about the believer, "seeking to realize his presence. It is rather to recognize the real presence of the one whom all sound theology declares to be already there, an objective entity existing apart from any apprehension of him on the part of his creatures. The resultant experience is not visionary but real." To put that in simple terms, I wish that we all thought and wrote that way today, but to just simplify that, he's just saying that, you know, it's not just something just kind of out there, something that we feel, something that, you know, we let go and let God, sort of thing, but we recognize the real presence, as he said, of the one whom all sound theology declares to be already there. He is who he is because of his word and that revelation, his self-revelation. And that's, too, I just want to kind of home in on this because it's very important to me that when we sing together as a congregation, or you sing songs in your quiet time, it's so important that there's great theology written within those songs. I know of so many new writers that are specifically doing that and pointing to that, where in the content of our singing, we are singing great theology back to God and declaring that truth. And in that truth, we revel and we experience Him. And it's not just a, you know, a Jesus, I love you sort of mantra sort of thing, but we're actually thinking on truth as we sing. And we glory in that truth as we sing and have that experience. Don mentioned last night about how we, as believers and thirsting for God, we also have times of of when we sense that God has withdrawn himself. You know, just the experience of knowing his presence is not all that we experience as a believer. But even when God withdraws himself, or there are those what the Puritans call God desertions, we still can rely on truth in those moments, experience him in a different way, and say, you know, even though I don't feel like God is here, I know he is here, and I rest in that truth, and I will trust him in this time, because there's a reason why he's withdrawing a sense of his presence. And what would that be but to make us seek him more, thirst for him more? Because, you know, if we're just really having a dry time, we're in the desert, we're not feeling his presence, it's not a great feeling. But that's where God tests us and calls us back and just says, if you love me, if you desire me, if this matters in your life, that I'm, you know, that you don't sense that I'm here, then keep seeking me. Because that's the heart of the believer, isn't it? The believer will seek a withdrawing God. I know one of my favorite songs that has actually, a new tune has been written to it by Bob Coughlin. It's God Moves in a Mysterious Way. And it's in those times where the clouds cover and we don't sense God's presence, we don't see him, that then we trust him even more. And that tests us. We're not just seeking the good feelings, but we're seeking him in the most desolate desert experiences. So we grow in that. And so those things are good. All right, I'm going to move on here. Well, you have a handout here, and it's called Opening Your Spiritual Eyes to His Presence. And there are just some practical suggestions there and expressions there that are important. What practical steps can we take to grow in our awareness of the continuous presence of God? Well, obviously, go often to the place where God has revealed himself most clearly, which is the Bible. Now, I know that hopefully at the beginning of the year we might begin a Bible reading plan, and we have the goal of completing the Bible in a year. And reading the Bible is wonderful and good and right for us to do. But how many times do you find yourself in reading the Bible, you read it and you close it, and what might happen? You forget it. You forget about what you read because you simply read it. Reading was good. The Lord will bless that. The Lord will bless that obedience. But especially in our world today, as busy as we are and as little time that we might have for quiet time, if we're, you know, honest with ourselves and so forth, especially as we're bombarded with media constantly. I was telling the girls the other night that, you know, now we, even at my age, we are more tempted to stray to other things and distractions than ever before. I mean, I can remember back in college when I was a new Christian, and, you know, we girls would talk about our walk with the Lord and everything, and I remember one girl saying, you know, I'm just so convicted because I realize that I spend more time in front of the makeup mirror preparing myself outwardly than I spend in quiet time with the Lord preparing myself inwardly. Well, that was before computers and iPads and iPods and the things that, I mean, we had, you know, we flipped on the radio when we got in the car. But now we have Facebook and Pinterest and all of these things, email, And all these things that add extra time to our day that before we know it, an hour has gone, 2 hours has gone that we've spent, you know, sitting in front of that computer. And Lord help the next generation coming up that spend time constantly playing, you know, what is it, Xbox games and all that kind of stuff. I mean, these, you know, it's kind of scary how they're distracted. But so our time seeking God's presence and spending time in His Word has to be very, very intentional, more so for us. We have to intently desire to seek the Lord in His Word, to take the time, the discipline, to sit down and seek Him. But you know, as we do that, the more we do that, the more He will reveal Himself and the more we will desire to do that. So go often to the place where God has revealed Himself more clearly, and not just read. I wish we had time to talk about meditating on Scripture. Because meditating on Scripture, in other words, thinking deeply on those things that we're reading, taking it apart, thinking word by word about what we're reading and how God wants us to respond to His Word, is more important than just reading. In fact, I would say read less and meditate more. If you have 5 minutes, read 2 minutes and meditate three, and so on. Because it is through the meditation of God's Word, thinking on God's Word. I'm not talking about Eastern meditation, but biblical meditation, chewing it, thinking through it, spending time with the Word of God, writing it down, journaling, all these things, all these spiritual disciplines that are involved in that. As I said, I'm just skimming the surface here. But it's through that meditation that our lives are changed. We just don't have a knowledge. We don't just read words, but they're being infused into our lives. Meditation is like taking a tea bag, and you're the cup of water, and the tea bag is the Word of God. And each time as you know that hot water receives that tea bag, what happens? Each time you dip it in, it begins to that flavor, that content of the tea bag becomes a part of the water, and it begins to change and pull in that full flavor of the tea bag, and that is the Word of God, and we receive it, and then we become like what we are reading. And so God's Word has an effect on our lives through meditation. So I just quickly, there are, in fact, Spiritual Disciplines is going to be coming out. Don just revised it. And he went from 7 methods of meditation to 17. And so, you know, there are just various ways of actually meditating on Scripture that are very helpful. And I can't talk about those, but I am going to talk about praying through Scripture this morning, as I said. But don't simply read the Bible, close it, and then walk away. Absorb the water of the Word through meditation. Don says here, otherwise what you have read may become like rain that evaporates on a sidewalk. Linger over something from it so that it percolates into the soil of your soul. Listen to the voice of God. So that's one way we practice the presence of God. Secondly, acknowledge His presence with you by talking with Him. You know, many times wives complain that their husbands can sit in the same room with them for extended amount of time and never acknowledge their presence by speaking. You know, men are just made differently. We're chatting away and, you know, Don's sitting there and he's tired and had a long day and he just wants to vegetate for a while. And you go, did you hear me? Did you hear what I just said? And he'll go, mm-hmm. And I hope he did. And I trust that he did. But a lot of times we do the talking. And we wonder if the person is listening to us. But we are to talk with the Lord, talk with Him. And as we talk with the Lord, we always will feel closer to Him, because the Lord answers and speaks back through His Word. Seek Him in the manifestations of His presence given only in congregational worship. Congregational worship is so vital. And you know, not only our personal time is important, but coming together with other believers and experiencing the whole part of the service. You know, the whole service is worship. It should be. You know, even our passing the plate or whatever for giving is a worship experience, or should be. But especially as we sing, especially as we hear the sermon, we should be experiencing the congregational worship in a way that we suddenly go, wow, God is here. I hear it in the voices. I experience it in the words of the music. We are worshiping, giving back to God what He's done in our lives. We're giving back to God the words of the music. And then as we listen to the sermon, we're hearing truth and we're thinking on it and we're reveling in that and we are affected by that. And that is worship. So, and God manifests Himself through that preaching to each individual. The Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and ministers to us, and we sense Him speaking. We sense His presence. And you know, that's a holy time. That's a very holy time. And when we have the Lord's Supper, we sense His presence there in a unique way. So public worship is very important. Then continually affirm the truth that He is omnipresent. The truth is, God is everywhere at all times. And we acknowledge the fact that the Lord says that He is with us always. Even in the most tragic situations, even in the most crisis situations, He is with us, as we know. He gives us that supernatural sense of peace and presence in those times and in the joyous times. And many times we'll say, you know, doesn't God see what's happening? What does the Word of God say? You know, Don often says to me, Kathy, speak truth to yourself. And that will make you realize that God is sovereign. God is in this situation. Speak truth to yourself. What does He say about it? Even though I'm not feeling that, we as women, we're touchy, you know, go-y. We feel more than men. And so we have to be careful about those feelings and not associate that with the moment, but trust with all our heart that God is at work. Why doesn't He answer? But faith and the truth responds, but God is here. He is omniscient. He is present. He is with us. As much as any moment in my life, He is here now. And I will believe the truth. I will believe the truth, not just my feelings. Augustine, the great church father, said, I cannot show you my God, not because there is no God to show, but because you have no eyes to see Him. But we do have eyes to see Him, don't we? And that comes through the Holy Spirit. As He speaks, as we listen, as we sense the presence of God, God in us. God in us. That's an awesome thought, an awesome revelation that God's presence dwells within us. And we must tap into that. We must be aware of the fact that He has placed His Holy Spirit within us to know His presence. And so we need to just kind of, this is a good way to put it, develop God eyes. In that everything that God is involved in, which is everything, is tinted in some shade of blue. And as we look, as we see everything, we see a little bit of a tint of blue because we know that God has His hand on every aspect of our lives. God is with us. The Lord is here. While sitting at the computer, as I said before, while spending time in the mall or the grocery store, remind yourself that God is present and look for Him in the little things. And as we develop these God eyes, we will be more like Jesus, who always recognized His Father's presence. Spurgeon says, and I've got a wee bit of time here, Spurgeon says that He fed the multitude, but it was with His Father's bread, and He healed the sick, but it was with the Father's works. And other men remarked that the ravens were fed, but He said, "Your heavenly Father feeds them." Other men noticed the lilies were fair to look upon, but He discerned that God so clothes the grass of the field. The Heavenly Father was in every place and in everything to Jesus, refused to see anything without seeing God in it. So, all right, quickly, let's talk about praying through Scripture then. This is the most beautiful way to apply this and to experience this. And, you know, I think that and I want to get us in with the men here as soon as possible. Is 10 minutes okay? Okay, 10 more minutes, and then we'll go down and be with them. Many of us have a system for prayer, a little way to pray, maybe the acts, you know, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, or something like that, and we go through that, and we pray daily. We have our prayer list before us, and we pray that. And those are good ways to pray. But many, many, many times we find ourselves sort of getting into a prayer rut. We find ourselves praying the same things about the same things, don't we? It's almost like we say the same things. You know, there's so many areas of our lives we could list, you know, our family life, our church life, our job, our friends and family, our church. Those things are good, and we pray about them every day. But many times we find ourselves just kind of repeating the same prayers over and over and over again. And that becomes bondage. And the Lord doesn't want prayer to be boring. He doesn't want it to be complicated. Prayer should be simple. But why is it so difficult? I think it's because we find ourselves frustrated in prayer sometimes. And you know, our, we live our lives here. Our hearts are here. The great loves of our life are here. And saying the same old things about those things can be, if we keep up this pattern, we'll find ourselves just praying for 5 or 7 minutes. We're done. We leave. And there again, we've obligated ourselves, you know, to prayer. And we find that it's grinding out, or maybe even duty prayer at times. And unfortunately, it becomes sheer obligation sometimes to pray in this way. I'll skip through that. But when we share this, when Don shares this, when I share this, we realize that it's not only the fact that we might need revival in our souls, but what we need is reformation in our prayer life, in our way of praying. Otherwise, we just kind of keep going back to the old methods. And you know what? It happens to all of us. It's not just us. It's not... you're not alone in this. And you might get discouraged. You might say, "Oh, I just must you know, not really be tracking, you know, like I see spiritual men and women track. It's not that. It's our method of prayer. And so I want to share with you a simple reformation, and that is taking a prayer, a passage of Scripture and praying through the Word of God. And I think the most simple, quickest way that we can do this is to think about a very familiar passage of Scripture. It's always best to go to the Psalms, and I'm going to talk about the Psalms of the day in a moment. But, for instance, Psalm 23. We can just quote that, you know, right here out of our heads. But we know it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Well, we take that, those couple of lines there, and we take our prayer list and we apply it to that. And say we're praying for our children, our grandchildren. And we're praying and we say, the Lord is my shepherd. Lord, you promised to be our shepherds. Shepherd my family today. Guide them in those decisions that they need to make about whether they should buy this house or this car or go to the mission field, whatever it may be. And then you begin to think about ways to pray for that. But Lord, you are the shepherd. You are the one who guides the sheep. Take them. Show them your way. Make their paths straight. Protect them as their shepherd. So you're applying those few words to your prayer. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Lord, I'm getting ready to face the most difficult situation of my life. Lord, take me through that valley. Guide me through that valley. Give me a sense of your presence and let me fear no evil, because I know that you are with me. This is what we've talked about this morning. So you're using God's words, taking them to your prayer, or through your prayer, praying them back to him. And maybe for the first time, we're not just reading a list and praying them and never hearing from God, but as we pray his words to him, he brings the conversation back to us, because then we begin to see things in his word that we never fathom would apply to our prayer life. And I'm frustrated because I would like for you to actually do this, you know, as we're sitting here, because until you actually experience it, you know, the lights don't come on as much. But we don't have to bear all of the responsibility of what to say in prayer. We're letting the words of Scripture be the words of our prayer. Now, quickly, I'm going to share this, and this is how we do it. Now, there's so much more I could say. For instance, today is March 15th, right? Am I right about that? Okay. So what we would do is, now, if you want to jot this down, it would be good so that we can remember it. But we have what we call the Psalms of the day. How many Psalms are there? 150, right? Okay. So what we do is, we usually have 30 days in the month, sometimes 31, but I'll talk about that in a minute. But 30 days in the month. So we take five Psalms as we're sitting down there, as much as we can do this and as quickly as we can do this. I'm going to look at Psalm 15. I'm going to scan that psalm and see if there's anything that just kind of pops out to me or inspires me to pray. And there may not be much. This morning I was going through the five psalms of the day, and actually it was the fourth group that actually I began to pray. But anyway, what you do is you take Psalm 15 and you add 30 to it. We're going to have to do a little math here. We add 30 to it, and then that's Psalm 45, right? So that's our second psalm of the day. Then we add 30 to that, and that becomes Psalm 75, okay? So there's our third psalm. We add 30 to that, that becomes Psalm 105. And we add 30 to that, and that is Psalm 135, right? Yeah. So we have five psalms for the day. And it's interesting how those five psalms kind of have the same thread running through them. But anyway, we glean through those, look through those, and Psalm 105 stuck out to me this morning as I was praying. And so I took the words of that psalm, just a little section of it that just really popped out and ministered to me, and I began to use the words of that psalm to pray. And quickly, I'll just share that with you. It was, sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of his wondrous work, glory in his name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. I began to pray for this time together. And I prayed, Lord, cause us to glory in your holy name and to rejoice in learning about what it is to seek you with all our hearts. And of course, if I had specific women to pray for, I would pray that for them. I might be inspired to pray that for our children. And as we go on down into verse 4, seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his presence continually. Well, you can see how I would take those words and pray specifically for this moment. And it was interesting that it applied so well to that. But you know, every time we go through this cycle, and you do this every day, tomorrow would be the 16th, we would take Psalm 16 and 32 it and on, and we have those five psalms to glean from. You're not going to find something in every one, and you shouldn't. But each month that we do this, the Holy Spirit is going to take those words and use them in a new and fresh way, and you will never pray the same prayer again. See what I'm saying? We're praying God's words back to him. What were the psalms written for? To sing. To sing to the Lord. To sing back to the Lord. To give back to the Lord. And so as we're praying the psalms, we're doing that very thing that they were originally intended to sing or to pray back to the Lord. And it's amazing how this will transform your prayer life. If we had 5 minutes to do this, we would hear testimonies about, wow, that was the most amazing prayer I have ever had. As I'm praying things, thinking about people, situations that I never would have thought of before had it not been for the Word of God, using the Word of God to pray those back. We can go to other parts of Scripture to use. We can go to the New Testament, to the narratives. You have to kind of say like if you're reading about the prodigal son, that would inspire prayer, you know, for someone that perhaps has strayed away, or Lord, never let my heart stray that way, and so forth, and through the epistles. But the Psalms inevitably will speak to us because there's every heart situation written in the Psalms that exists for mankind. Joy, sadness, crying out to God in desperation, all these things are contained in the Psalms, and we will always identify with them. What do you do when you have 31 days? You can go to Psalm 119, the longest psalm in the Scripture there, and you've got plenty to pray about. And there'll be times that you come to those precatory psalms, and I need to go where, you know, Lord, take their heads and dash them against the rocks and so forth. Well, that might not be such an inspirational thing to pray about, though you might want to. In a Christian way for someone. But you can tell you to say, Lord, I know you hate abortion, and I pray that somehow this will be eradicated in our lifetime. You know, but just thinking and applying that and causing you to meditate on that. So there's no more vain repetition. There's no more saying the same old things about the same old things as you pray through the Psalms. So I encourage you to do that. I'm going to have to cut this short. Maybe another time, another place, you know, Don can share about meditating on Scripture and about praying through Scripture. But some of you might already be doing that, and that's wonderful. But anyway, thanks for letting me share this about practicing the presence of God And go home and try this. Don't just forget about it, but really, really try it. And I guarantee you it will revolutionize your prayer life, change your prayer life forever. And I find, you know, we hear people in their 70s and 80s and they have tears coming down their eyes and they go, I wish I had heard this earlier in life. And anyone can do this, from the youngest child to the eldest person in your congregation. It's for everybody. And it will reform your prayer life.